Oh, good morning, church. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen. There you go. I want to say that it's only taken us about 5 weeks now. Is that mean we're doing this 4 weeks to finally get a decent, beautiful day? The only thing I can imagine is because it's Mother's Day. That is the only understanding of why this is such a fantastic day, because moms, y'all deserve it today. This is going to be a difficult day for a bunch of moms because they can't see their kids and grandkids as easy, and it makes it difficult. My mom is watching now. I wish I could hug her. I know I can't, but this is Mother's Day, and so I'm going to assume this is just a beautiful gift from God that we have on this day so that we can have a wonderful worship service. So happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I know it's a tough day. You can't do all the seeing of everybody you want to, but just know that you are appreciated and loved to all the moms. So happy Mother's Day, everybody. Couple of other announcements real quick. I want to let you know that Jerry Bowers has been in the hospital the last, 2 days, Ruth? Isn't that right? Been in the hospital a couple of days. He's feeling better, doing better. Hope to come home in the next day or two, but keep in your prayers. I want to let you know about that. And then the other thing is this. Big question has been, when are we coming back into the sanctuary? We're meeting on Thursday, the elders are, to start discussing that process. So if you have any information that you'd like to provide, if you have any input that you'd like to give, talk to your elders and let them know so that we can kind of get everybody involved in this. But we're going to be talking about that on Thursday. So that's what's going on in the life of the church, and I just want to thank everybody for participating in this and all of our other activities. We're going to keep church going as long as we can, as best as we can, until we get back in the building. So let's have our call to worship. It comes from Exodus 20. It's the first through the fifth verse, and it's this. Then God spoke these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Yeah, let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, that's why we're here today in the parking lot and online, is we recognize you are the only God. You are our only Lord. You are the only one that brings us salvation and brings us rescue. And so, God, we ask today that you bless us in this parking lot. Lord, it's a beautiful day. You've already blessed us. We ask that you bless us, though, with some attunement into your spirit. Allow something to happen in us so that we see a little bit deeper into the faith today than we did yesterday. We ask you, Lord, to bless us because we need your blessing. We can't do this on our own. It's not by our own force of will that we follow you, but it's your guiding light that just draws us in. And so we ask you, God, to draw us in right now in this worship service. Lift us up and gather us, and then teach us, and then send us out to go share the good news that you provided. Lord, I want to pray for all our mothers today. I want to ask that you give them a special portion of blessing, that you love them and cherish them and show them that through the contacts they have with their loved ones. We ask, Lord, for those who are in difficult circumstances today because of loss, we ask you to bless those mothers and love them desperately on this day and allow us to love them as well. And Lord, for all the grandparents and the aunts and the grandmothers and the aunts and all those that are mothers to children that aren't their biological moms, but just a good friend maybe, we ask, Lord, that you bless them too, that you love them tremendously. And Lord, we ask then that you bless all of us to receive that love from mothers and friends and aunts and grandparents. We ask this thing, Lord, because we know that you have created a special bond between mother and child, and we thank you for it. Lord, we pray for Jerry. We pray for Hogman's family. We pray for all of those in difficult circumstances right now, and we ask that you lift them up on this gorgeous day. Allow something good to happen in their lives so they can feel your blessings too. We ask these things in your name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Y'all join James and Philip in our first song.
How many of you have praised God this week? How many of you have thought about where you praise God? And when you praise God? How many more times you gonna praise God? This song is just about that. And you'll know it once I start. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 You know this, don't you? You do sing with us. Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 I could sing of your love forever.
Beautiful song. Amen, brother. Amen. I want to thank you all again for your care for the church. I say this every week. I want to thank you so much for your continued lifting up of the Lord through your tithes and your offerings. We are continuing to be wonderful stewards of that, helping out in the community. If you know anybody that is in need of help, if you are in need of help, let us know. We want to help you in this time, or help your friends, your neighbors, your strangers that live around you. We want to make sure that we're helping you out. So if you do know anybody that needs assistance, whatever kind it is, please, please let us know. I want to read our scripture for today. It comes from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 10th through the 18th verses, and it reads this way. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or even those that say, I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Christ crucified for, or was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also in the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anybody else or not. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's go to God again in prayer, please. Gracious God, we ask that you bless this reading in our minds. We know, Lord, that this has been handed down for 2,000 years, that for generation to generation, this has been given one to another so that we can find wisdom and find you in the Scriptures. And we ask you then, Lord, to reveal yourself to us through this book. Allow these words to open up in our minds something that we didn't know before, so that we can grow closer to you and closer in our walk to how you would have us go. We ask you these things in God's name. And amen. If you've read much of Paul's writings, there's a strong possibility that you're like me in that you both have a very loving and very hateful relationship with Paul. We Southerners have a phrase for him. It's bless your heart. Now, in his defense, I will say two things. First is, if Paul knew he was writing Scripture 2,000 years ago and that people would be reading it 2,000 years later, he might not have written some of the stuff he wrote. I believe that. Second thing is this. We've made Paul say some things that he didn't actually say. For instance, Paul didn't have a problem in the world with works. He had no problem with works. He thought everything ought to be a work of the Lord. He had no problem. We put those words in his mouth. But still, Paul had a way about him that he got him crossed up with people. He couldn't get along with folks. And so every time he got in an argument, we want to tell him the same thing my mom told me. The only way you get muddy is if you wrestle a pig. So don't wrestle pigs. But Paul was Paul. What made Paul great is the same thing that got on everybody's nerves. He made sure we knew that everything we did was supposed to go to the glory of God, or nothing was to God's glory. Paul said, there is no middle ground. There is no half stepping. Our life is to be a living sacrifice. Now, here's one of the things that I love about Paul. Paul did what he said. He gave up his old life for a brand new life. He decided that his old way that he thought about the world and the old way that he walked in the world was not going to work anymore. And so he gave up everything to walk in a brand new way. He gave up his honor and he gave up his status. He gave up his riches. He gave up going to the nice parties. He gave up hanging out with the right people. But he gave it all up and he lived a different way the rest of his life. He was ridiculed for it. He was jailed for it. But he didn't care. He saw something that other people didn't see. And so he went the way of Jesus Christ no matter what. Arrest him? Chain him up in the jail? Doesn't matter. He'll just sing because he thinks those are the handcuffs of the Lord and go about living the gospel anyway. That's who Paul was. He gave up everything that made him who he was and became who he could be, and nothing got in his way. And man, that's bravery. That's what it means to be brave. Who's braver, Paul the Pharisee or Paul the Christian? Here's the other thing that I have great respect about Paul. He didn't beat around the bush. For all the jokes that we make about him writing in circles and not being able to understand him, when he comes down to it, he said what needed to be said, and he did not mince words. He called it exactly like it is. He'd say, don't do it that way, because that way isn't about the faith. Do it this way, because this is what the faith looks like. And he didn't care about whose toes he stepped on either. That wasn't his concern. He was just trying to do Jesus right. And I respect that. I think we all respect that. I think one of the reasons that we respect people like that is because it's hard to be that way, man. I beat around the bush all the time. I don't like to offend anybody. I got my nose smacked a couple of times early on in my ministry, and I learned that that hurts, and I don't want to do that anymore. But Paul, man, Paul said it like it was. So maybe what we can do this morning to honor all the mamas that did that for us, to speak a word. I'm going to talk about my mom there for a second. But what we can do maybe to honor moms and to honor Paul is maybe we can read this scripture here again and act like that Paul is talking to us. Maybe we can let him call it like it is in our lives. And then maybe we can be so brave as to listen. Maybe there's something to hear, but we won't know if we don't put our toes out there to get stepped on. Now, I need to back up for a second. If we're going to figure out what Paul is saying to us, we have to figure out what he was saying back then first. When Paul went to Corinth the first time, there weren't any Christians in Corinth. In fact, it was kind of the opposite. One person said Corinth was a little bit like Las Vegas. It was just bawdy. It was a rich town, and they wanted everybody to know it was rich. And you know how wealth can bring about some pride, right? It can bring out the worst in us sometimes. And that's the kind of city that Paul walked into. He showed up in Corinth to figure out how to put a Christian community in that town, which played by a whole different set of rules than what the Corinthian people played by. He wanted to teach people about the Messiah and how the Messiah brought about a brand new kingdom with new morals and new ways of living. He told people about the Messiah, Jesus, who had come and shown this way so that everybody could see it if they would see. He told them about Jesus and what he did, but then he told them how the world mustered all the sin that it could and put Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross for what he was teaching. But then he told the rest of the story too, that Jesus didn't stay dead, because not even killing the Son of God can come between us and the love of God. And with that, he tried to convince folks to follow Jesus. Who else are you going to follow if that story is true? And then some did follow Jesus. They started a church in Corinth. Some Jews and Greeks both tried to figure out how to live in this new Christian way right in the middle of this old town. And then after that happened, Paul left. He went on to other cities to tell them about Jesus too. And while he was in Ephesus, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, he got a letter. And it was from that church in Corinth. The letter started off just fine. It started off pleasant. It said, Paul, man, some of these folks over here are sure following what you taught. They're doing a great job, and they're teaching other people about it too. They're following the way, all because of you, Paul. Congratulations. And honestly, that probably made Paul feel pretty good. A fancy pants preacher always likes a note like that, right? But then he read the next line, and it said that some people are following Apollos instead. Apollos was a good guy, no doubt, but that worried Paul a little bit. Why are they dividing up between me and him? And then he read that some were claiming only to follow Cephas. That's Peter, by the way, which is a problem because Peter kept telling people how only Jews could be Christian. And then the letter said that there are some folks who just follow Jesus. You know those people, right? I just follow Jesus. And then by the time he got done reading the letter, Paul was upset. Paul got worried that good Christians were suddenly dividing themselves up based on ideas and leaders and ideologies rather than simply the pure nature of the gospel. You know, love God, love your neighbor, don't let anybody fall through the cracks, be responsible for each other, and have some joy about living in this creation. That's the gospel. But the Christians weren't doing that. They were dividing up. And when the faith gets divided up, when some follow this one and some follow that one and some just follow Jesus because everybody else is stupid if you don't follow Jesus, then it's not the way at all. When Christian communities get sanctimonious, something happens that the church is no longer sanctified, and that's why Paul wrote what he wrote. Good Christians were losing their way because they decided that everyone is created equal, but some are created more equal than others. And Paul had something to say about that. And that's what I think is important for us Christians today to hear. Now, it might be hard to hear. It might step on our toes a little bit, but if it does, it's because things haven't changed all that much. A bunch of Christians are still dividing up on who follows who. Now, the irony of living in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt is not lost on me right now, I promise you. As Paul is saying that it's not Apollos or Cephas or even him that we ought to follow, I'd like to ask Nolensville which version of Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Bapticostal or non-denominadist or which one of those do you want to follow? Because we got every flavor around here. If you want to be Lutheran or Episcopalian or Catholic too, we got that if you fancy. In this place in the world that we claim to be the most Christian, we follow just a little bit of everybody. And oh, by the way, I read in the scripture the other day that woe be to the ones that follow Jason, so I got bad news for you there. I was on a Zoom call the other day with a bunch of Nolensville pastors. And a couple of things happened that were interesting. The topic we were discussing was, when might churches open back up? And it was a wonderful call. I appreciated all the pastors supporting one another, and we were working together, and that was really good. But finally, someone said something that everybody else was thinking but wasn't brave enough to say. The preacher said, I don't want to lose people in my church. I don't want them to go to other churches. Who do you follow? This happened next, though. While we were on the call, I talked to some of the preachers into throwing some money in so that we could pay off $3,500 in student loan debts over here at Nolensville High School, and that's a wonderful thing. Several of them chipped in, and we got the whole thing paid off. We got it taken care of. And thank you, Jackie Fuqua, by the way, for getting that ball rolling. Yet even in that moment and other moments when churches are working together, the greater truth remains. There are divisions among us Christians in the faith that are not right and they are not good. It's denominations, yes, but it's also other groups. It's Christians that believe this way and Christians that believe another, and they don't agree as people of faith should. It occurs inside churches too, and I thank God that it doesn't occur inside our church. But this group and that group so often can't get along in the same way, and then everybody suffers, and it ought not be that way for people of faith. Oh, let's be like Paul and just call it like it is this morning, shall we? We have divisions showing up right now among Christians in our culture, and they're showing up because we're not following Jesus, we're following world leaders. We got Christians traipsing after all kinds of leaders that they believe can do no wrong in their book, even when we know good and well that they are doing wrong. Don't turn off your radio yet. I hadn't named any names. But I will say this. There are some, y'all stay with me on this, there are some that wear the liberal tag proudly, and there are some that wear the conservative tag proudly, and they will turn up their nose at a truth from the other side because they don't want to be wrong. I'm not lying about it. I'm telling the truth. Don't tell me that there aren't a lot of people in this world right now that won't listen to anything outside of what they know because they don't want those other people to win a point on them. And y'all, we Christians cannot be doing that. A D or an R on a voting ticket doesn't put us on the path to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ puts us on a path to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when it's time to go vote, go vote. Don't misunderstand me. Educate yourselves and do it well. But I pray that none of us thinks that our salvation comes in our division over that. Paul would say, quit following all those folks and start following Jesus Christ in everything you do, because ain't nobody else going to save us. The world's leaders are not going to take us to the promised land. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And it's not just political leaders that we're tempted to follow either. There's all kinds more. Christians will follow some leaders who demand that we follow the dollar for everything it's worth. They'll say whatever creates a dollar must be good, but I can't remember Jesus ever saying that. There are some Christians that say if something is better for the majority, then the minority is just going to have to deal with it. But that doesn't sound like anything Jesus Christ said. Some people of faith follow those in the world that say punishment is the best remedy, or that blame is the game, or that violence is the answer. Hate is the motivation that will bring us to victory. What's Jesus got to say about that, do you figure? Some lead us by saying to do to whatever feels good. Whatever makes us happy must be the right thing. Whatever keeps us comfortable is a good thing to have. But Jesus never said that either. What about my team or my side or my countrymen or my people? Did Jesus ever tell us to side only with those folks? What about the notion, this is one that's got me lately, what about the notion that competition will prepare us for life? Was Jesus ever competitive? Now, I love sports. I love playing ball. I love posting up a young and up on the basketball court, backing him down, hitting him with a drop step and a pump fake, watching his young legs jump out past front of me, and then laying the ball in and letting that kid wonder how in the world that old man just scored on him. I love doing that. And we keep hearing that sport is where we make great leaders and that we can figure out life on the ball field because we're competing and working with a team against that other team. And while I think Jesus would probably dunk on any of us, I have to wonder, do you think Jesus found redemption in competition? Would he say that it's competition that makes us great? No, Jesus wasn't about any of that. He was about something so different and so weird and so impossible that Paul said it looked like foolishness. And yet our journey following Jesus ends there, right smack dab in the midst of the most beautiful foolishness. Giving grace doesn't look good before we give it out. But if we follow Jesus and show grace to everybody, we'll see the promised land. Mercy isn't valuable to this world's leaders, but if we follow Jesus, we'll see that mercy looks a whole lot like heaven. Joy? No, joy, not when I never have enough because the world tells me I should always want a little bit more, but if I find Jesus, I'll find joy in anything. Just ask Paul about joy when he's saying down the basement of that prison. Patience? Yeah, patience isn't being taught in these COVID days, I promise you. Love, even for the hardest to love? Peace, care for the least of these? No, those are foolish to a world that does not see the beauty in them. Ain't no leader going to take us there. Don't follow them. But y'all, Paul said, trust Jesus. Follow Jesus' way, even when it doesn't make a lick of sense. Oh, y'all, there are plenty of leaders to follow. And just because they say they love Jesus doesn't mean they'll lead you there after either. In fact, I found the ones that say they love Jesus the most, the ones that'll take you farthest away. And so Paul steps on everybody's toes in this scripture and reminds us to never follow any of them, especially when we find ourselves following them now. Follow only Christ. That's it. That is the only way to paradise. Now, here's the wonderful news about it. There's an easy way to find out what Jesus was about. It's not hard. We can start by reading four books that we already have in our house. They're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are literally only about Jesus Christ. If you have a friend that needs to follow Jesus, tell them that's where they can find the beautiful way. It's in the Gospels and in people who live out that gospel. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to study it, man. We have to know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have to learn it. We must dive in head first and say that we don't care what is in those books. We're going to follow Jesus Christ. We don't care if it conflicts with everything else we know. The only thing that matters is we're going to follow Jesus and we'll give him everything that we've got. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's not important. Church, I'm just telling you that I think Paul is right yet again. Don't follow Paul. We can't follow Apollos. We ought not follow Cephas. We sure can't follow Jason. And we better not follow anybody else that we can fill in that blank with either. Our job as people of faith, no matter what, is that we fall in line with how Jesus Christ wants us to live. That's it. That is everything you need to know about the big book. I'm going to tell you one more story and I'm done. Sometimes I'll talk to Wes about something and I'll give him a little piece of advice. And I'll tell him that you may not see the truth in it now, but whatever I'm explaining to him is the best for you that you can have. And then I'll tell him, you know how you know that I can tell you that? You know how I know that it's good what I'm telling you? And I'll tell him it's because nobody loves you more than I do. Me and your mama, that's it. Nobody will ever love you like we love you, and so I am never, ever, son, going to steer you wrong. You say that to your kids, right? We know it's true. And I've got to ask, who loves you enough to go to the cross for you? Who loves you enough to go to the cross for you? Who wants the best for all of us, no matter what? No matter what, who wants paradise for you? No matter what, who wants heaven for you? And the answer is very simple. Jesus does. That's it. Jesus Christ wants that for you. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let's leave this place now. And let's go out there and not follow the leaders, but let's follow one leader, and his name is Jesus Christ. Because Paul, but Jesus most of all, said, that's the best thing for us. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. This is the part where I hold on a second because musicians aren't quite here yet. And just tell you that I miss hugging every one of you all's necks so bad I can't stand it. And before long, we're going to figure out how to get back together again. We're going to love on one another. We're going to hug each other. We're going to laugh. We're going to shake hands. We're going to do all that stuff. The time is coming. But just know until then, I love y'all desperately. God bless.
You know, we were on our way out here, and then we heard the words, one more story. And when a preacher says that, you just turn right back around and sit down. So we apologize for our tardiness, but there was a story.
Always is.
Always is.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. Who dwells in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it Lord, where you lead? soul's pain. I have wept for love of them, the eternal way. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my words to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them, so whom shall I send?
God in prayer again as we close the worship service, and I'll we'll pray over our prayer list as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up these names to you, Dave and Michelle Jarrett, in the brain tumor that family is dealing with, the family of Louise Porter. Lord, we pray for the family of Meredith Bybee. Many of us know that family from her time in serving the camp that so many of our youth go to, and we pray for that family in her sudden death. Pray for David Morton and Melanie Soyson. Obviously for Jerry, our brother Jerry Bowers, for Bonnie Sneed, for Judy Judkins, Jeff and Jackie Branford, Cynthia Lucas in her fight with cancer, and Jeff Branford. We pray for Kim and Rain, Raisa Johnson. Lord, we pray for Crystal and what she's dealing with. And we pray for so many others that we know are in need. As we go back into this world war, Lord, we continue lifting up their name to you, recognizing you may speak a word of wisdom to us and how we can do something in those situations, where we can maybe just lend an ear or help out in some way. We pray for this community. We pray for this state. We pray for this country, and we pray for this world as we try to figure out how to go on in life after this COVID-19 pandemic and disaster. And we ask, Lord, that you give us all wisdom. Give us your knowledge on how to do it best, how to live with one another graciously and mercifully in your name. And Lord, now we ask that you release us from this place. Send us out into the world to go live out the gospel in your name. And so we go. We go in love, and we go in joy. We go in peace. We go in grace, and we go in mercy. We knowing that you are the only leader that is worth following. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. I love y'all so much, I can't wait to see you in person very soon. God bless.
Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? if you lead me, I will.